Welcome to the podcast, everyone. So, we're going to be reviewing this book, or reading a little bit of this book today, Original Yoga. It's written by Richard Rosen. It's really cool. It's one of the first books that I read that really kind of gave me the lowdown on physical asana practice and where it came from. I had teachers, like one of my teachers, Tukaram, he definitely shed some major light on where asana comes from, which is a super important thing, I would think. But we all just kind of take it for granted that it's this ancient practice and it's 5,000 years old, and we kind of go with that it's always been there. And then this book and some of my things that I've learned from my teachers have really shown me the reality of the situation, which is most asana that we do is only about 100 years old. So, of course, some of it is older, but we see where Krishnamacharya kind of like really implemented or put his little stamp on it of introducing other things like warm-ups from wrestling and gymnastics, and kind of like integrated a lot of other physical movement into the yoga practice. But this is going to go into some of that. We're going to explore this and another book called Yoga Body. And we're going to make those connections to see where they go. So, in the introduction, he says, "Let me begin by saying something about what I mean by original yoga. The immediate thought might be what I'm presenting is a brand new style of yoga, something original I've dreamed up and will join the ever-lengthening lineup of modern schools. But no. What's going on here is the opposite. The original yoga that I'll be talking about first is, as the book's title suggests, traditional hatha yoga." So just a word here. This is my little thing that I learned from my teacher Tukaram, that there's no TH in Sanskrit, so there's no tha. So it's not, so we always say hatha yoga. Oh, I want to go take a hatha yoga class. It's ha and ta. It's like a aspirated T, so the ta. So it's a little sharper than you think. So you're going to hear me say hatha. Okay, so back to the book. Traditional hatha yoga, which emerged around 900 CE, give or take a couple of centuries in either direction. Of course, hatha yoga is the original yoga. Is not the original yoga. The yoga school that precedes all others. That distinction formally belongs to the system outlined in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, compiled sometime between 200 BCE and 200 CE. So, that's interesting. So, he does put a word in there. The distinction that formally belongs to the system outlined in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. Because, obviously, most scholars agree that the Bhagavad Gita predates the Yoga Sutras, and that the oral tradition would predate that. So, let's say we have an oral tradition of martial arts is an easy example for me. So, there's an oral tradition and a physical tradition, but nobody writes it down, right? And then after a few hundred years, somebody actually gets the idea to write it down. When I started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I started in 2001, and really there was no books. The first book that came out was written by Horley Gracie and Henzo Gracie, and that was like a manual, and it was like amazing, and it came out when I was a blue belt or a white belt, I think, and it was like amazing to have a book finally, because I always wanted a book, and I remember when it came out, but that's not when Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu started. I mean, you could take it back to it predates, you know, judo even, you know, where there was a style called Kosen Judo, which means old style judo, which was where they primarily focused on grappling techniques and things like this. So you could go back to even the 20s to say that that's where Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu started, or when it went to Brazil. And but certainly it didn't come out in 2001 when the first book was written. So this is kind of similar in yoga, where you have an oral tradition. So what the author says here, which is pretty cool, which he says, the distinction formally belongs to, and that can be overlooked. And you can easily think, oh, the distinction belongs to Patanjali. But the idea of that it formally belongs to, because that's when it was written down. So I kind of like that he put that in there, the formally part. So back to the book. You may wonder why I'm making a distinction between traditional and modern Hatha Yoga. Isn't it the same? Surprisingly, the answer is a resounding no. First of all, traditional Hatha Yoga, as it is practiced in India between the 10th and 19th centuries, certainly didn't stay the same all the time. If we compare the outline in one of the schools of the Granddaddy instructional manuals, the mid-14th century, the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, Light on Hatha Yoga, with that, one of its distinct relatives, the late 17th century Garanga Samhita, we find a few significant differences, not at the least being that the asana plays a much more important role in the latter book. But if we put the Garanga Samhita alongside of its contemporaries, the Shiva Samhita, we again find differences galore. Such as the fact that asana is hardly mentioned at all in the latter. So what he's saying here is that you have three books that he's going to talk about here primarily, which is the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, the Garanga Samhita, which the Samhita part is just compendium. So Garanga's Samhita. And then he's going to talk about the Shiva Samhita. So, and he's saying that you find quite a few differences, but asa plays much more role, an important role in the latter book. So he's saying that the asana plays a bigger role in the Garanga Samhita than it does in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. And then asana is hardly mentioned in the Shiva Samhita. So there you have like the differences. So the book, the traditional Hatha Yoga book that describes asana the most is the Garanga Samhita, which most of us have never heard of. I certainly had never heard of before I read this book. I read this book years and years ago, and it really impacted the way I viewed asana. And it also impacted the way that I taught my classes, because I saw, oh, I see, there's a tradition of being innovative and moving the body and connecting to certain physical things. And I wasn't necessarily bound by this weird adherence to tradition that sometimes we can falsely apply to the systems that we're a part of. Back to the book. What happened to Hatha Yoga in the early centuries of the early years of the 20th century, by contrast, happened virtually overnight and was totally person-made or artificial. The full story is too lengthy to tell here. It has already been masterfully recounted in the book Yoga Body. Suffice it to say that by the end of the 19th century in India, Hatha Yoga had fallen on hard times and was on its last trembling leg. Several Indian teachers set out to save Hatha Yoga from oblivion, among them Krishnamacharya, whose work provided the impetus for three of the most popular, influential modern teachers, Desikachar, Patabi Joyce, and Iyengar. That's huge, right? So yoga's like on its last trembling leg. And then Krishnamacharya comes around. And he starts teaching people. This is why that if you trace back your upline in yoga, it's going to probably go back to one of these gentlemen. In that, in the West, most of our physical practice comes through this line. But there's only really one line, right? So, you have a little bit of a deviation in the Shivananda style of yoga and things like this. But for the most part, most vinyasa that is practiced today is coming through. You have one of these gentlemen in your upline. Back to the book. You may have heard or read somewhere that yoga is 5,000 years old, a number that continually gets cited by people who should know better. Since there's not a shred of concrete evidence to back it up, what we do know for certain is that the yoga we practice in the West is no more than 100 years old. Boom. Our Indian teachers took what was once the province of relatively small, loose-knit, mostly male aesthetic community that was resolutely living on the fringes of society. That's pretty impressive here, what he's saying. So, I mean, that's basically going into what I kind of just said of the little bit of the history of it only being about 100 years old, most of the asana that we practice. But that doesn't mean that it's void of anything. And I think where he makes the mistake of 5,000 years old, if I start talking of meditation and, you know, calming the mind and using certain, you know, basic like sukhasana postures, well, then we can make a case for 5,000 years old because there's some evidence that goes back that far. Or at least we could push that date to 2,500 years ago because certainly the Bhagavad Gita is telling us to do certain things. So, and mentioning yoga and the word yoga itself being used, so we can push that date back, maybe not to 5,000 years, but we could definitely push it back to 2,500 years. So, but he's definitely right. Everybody kind of throws that 5,000 year word around. That's primarily from the Rig Veda. But in the Rig Veda, they're not really describing the yoga, anything similar to what we do right now, even from a philosophical standpoint. Okay, back to the book. Indian wrestling and Western gymnastics were implemented to beef up the practice. They were given Sanskrit names to make them seem yogic. He has a quotation mark. In this way, modern Hatha Yoga became asana-centric, or more precisely, it became equated with asana. In fact, most yoga classes, including the yoga classes at his studio, books and videos nowadays are asana classes, books and videos. I'm not here to criticize the development, as many traditions do. I actually believe that the modern asanization of Hatha Yoga was a good thing, a way to draw hyper-body-conscious Westerners into the fold and get them hooked. According to both the Hatha Yoga Pradipika and the Garanga Samhita, the first stage of traditional yoga isn't behavioral injunctions, which would be the yamas and the niyamas, which are the first in Patanjali system of yoga. And they're basically your observances of just basically how to be guardrails for your life. What we in the Western, what we Westerners have been doing for the last 60 or so years is just practicing the first tradition of Hatha Yoga stage, preparing ourselves for what? Question mark, question mark, question mark. That's what he has written. So very, very cool the way he breaks this down. And to also understand that different traditions have different ways of viewing it. So in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, the first of their limbs of yoga, which are six, by the way. So the first of their limbs of yoga is asana. So they start with the asana. And in Patanjali, he's doing yama, niyama, right? Your observances, you're basically your, my teacher Raghunath says that guardrails for your life. I like it because it kind of like gives you some guardrails. And then if you listen to anybody lecture on yoga, they'll always mention the yamas and the niyamas. But then you have to ask, are we actually following the yamas and the niyamas? Most likely not. And in Fjornstein's book, he really goes into it where he starts talking about he's just focusing on the first of the yamas, which is ahimsa. So he's just trying to be nonviolent, which I think is pretty cool, you know, because he dedicated his whole entire life. He was a scholar. He had a PhD, I think, in Indic studies. And he was like, okay, there's these eight limbs. There's five yamas, five niyamas. And I'm going to focus on the first yama. And he used to say that he would go to bed and he would evaluate his performance at night to how he did with that first yama. And then he would think, okay, this is where I went wrong. And then he said that he would not judge it. He would not judge his performance any more than he would judge a freckle on his skin. Because he felt that guilt did not help his spiritual growth. And then he said, but you don't get a pass. He says there's always going to be a karmic reaction that you'll have to deal with. And the idea that he wanted to do better. So he thought, how can I do better? And I always loved that. That was always great. So I definitely think that is a great place to start. But it's true that you probably won't encounter that with your average student coming in off the street wanting to take a yoga class. You're not going to set up the yamas and the niyamas for them first class and be like, you have to adhere to this. So we start with what we know. We know our physical body. We think we're our physical body. So we start there with the asana. Back to the book. I dug mostly into the Garanga Samhita and the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. The Shiva Samhita is largely philosophical, and its two companions basically ignore philosophy and focus on physical matter. So he's saying that the Hatha Yoga Pradipika and the Garanga Samhita, they primarily focus on the physical practice, and the Garanga and the Shiva Samhita is focusing more on the spiritual and philosophical aspects. Let me be clear. I'm not advocating a return to the old ways. Traditional Hatha Yoga, at least in this country, is a thing of the past, but certainly traditional practice can still have a powerful transformative effect. What I imagine doing is paradoxical, taking a step back to take a step forward. But this step forward is, as the old saying goes, the beginning of a 1,000-mile journey. Yoga was born and nurtured, cultivated in India, but it has been passed along to the West like a baton in a relay race. For all intents and purposes, over the last six decades, we've refined the original foundational practice of yoga. Far beyond the wildest imaginations of any of the old yogis of India. But although we are asana adults, the rest of our practice is still in its infancy. So now it's time to return our attention to other matters, using the traditional practice as our model, but shaping the practice to suit Western needs. I like that. We are adults in asana, but the rest of our practice is in its infancy, meaning we don't quite get the the philosophical, spiritual aspects of yoga, because we just kind of focus on the asana. And I think that that's something we can change, we can work towards, we can learn and go deeper into. And it's so rich. It's so rich. At least that's one thing that I want to do with the Fugyo and in the trainings that we offer, is to offer up that very rich understanding of traditional yoga. So I'll be going into more of this for the next few, like some more history of yoga, but I figured I'd open it up with that because I thought that intro was great. So have a great day, everyone.